greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Sunny Side of Sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
Let's stand up and give a Sunny Side of Sports salute to Darlington Nagbe, the Liberia-born striker who scored his first international goal for the U.S. men's national soccer team. Nagbe's 90th-minute volley lifted the USA to a 1-0 victory over Ecuador in a Copa America tune-up match played Wednesday night near Dallas, Texas. Bobby Wood, a 23-year-old striker from Honolulu, Hawaii, set up Nagbe's late goal. He headed a pass to Darlington, who chested the ball and then scored with a right-footed shot from about 7 meters. The United States defeated a South American team for only the third time in 21 matches. The last victory for the USA against a South American opponent came in 2007, also against Ecuador. This win should boost the confidence of the USA, which is hosting Copa America Centenario at 10 stadiums across the United States. It marks the first time the tournament has been held outside South America. The USA will play Colombia June 3rd in the competition's opening match in Santa Clara, California, southeast of San Francisco. The game will be held at Levi's Stadium, which also hosted the Super Bowl of American-style football on February 7th, earlier this year. And for the Super Bowl fans tuning in the sunny side of sports, I'm sure you remember the Denver Broncos defeated the Carolina Panthers 24-10 in Super Bowl 50 in Santa Clara. But let's get back to Darlington Nagbe. He's 25 years old, and when he's not playing for the U.S. men's national soccer team, Darlington plays for the Portland Timbers in Major League Soccer. And you might say Darlington has soccer in his blood. He's the son of Soma Nagbe and Joe Nagbe, the former captain of Liberia's national football team, the Lone Stars. Now, Joe Nagbe's professional football career took his family to France, Greece, and Switzerland before the Nagbes settled here in the USA in 2001 when Darlington was 11 years old. Darlington became a U.S. citizen last September, and in November of 2015, he made his first appearance for the U.S. men's national soccer team. That appearance came shortly before the Timbers won the MLS Cup trophy, and as Darlington and his wife, Felicia, celebrated the birth of their son, Kingston. They also have a daughter, Mila. In an interview on Talk Timbers, the Portland club's podcast, Darlington talked about going into the U.S. men's national team's locker room for the first time.
It's a strange one. You know, I've never done any national team play before, so just going in there and this guy that you're playing against, you know, you might think some guy is like not the best guy on the field or whatever, personality-wise. Like, dang, like, this guy, you know? Like, I don't know how somebody could be friends with him. And you go in a locker room, and he's, like, the nicest guy, like, that you could meet. And so just things like that are a little strange, you know? But going into there, I was just, I don't know. I was excited about everything, the championship, birth of my child, you know, and then the national team camp again. So everything just keeps falling into place, and I'm excited about it.
I'm sure Darlington Nagbe is also excited about his first international goal for the U.S. men's national soccer team. And I'm also sure the USA's head coach, Jurgen Klinsmann, would love to see Nagbe find the net again during the upcoming Copa America Centenario. Darlington has now made 5 international appearances for the USA. During that same Talk Timbers podcast, Darlington commented on his progression with the national team.
No, it's good. I feel like the January camp definitely helps you come in and get used to the guys, you know. When I went in November, it was just a couple of days. You meet the guys and then you're gone. But January camp was a good opportunity to meet the guys, get more familiar with the system and the coaches and the training staff. You know, everything that matters that no one sees on the field. So it was a great opportunity for me, and I'm glad I got the chance to experience it.
That's Liberia-born striker Darlington Nagbe of Major League Soccer's Portland Timbers Club, who will now get the chance to experience Copa America Centenario with the USA. The U.S. men's national soccer team will continue its Copa America preparations on Saturday when it plays Bolivia in another friendly warm-up match in Kansas City, Kansas. Meanwhile, the world champion U.S. women's national soccer team has scheduled a friendly match against South Africa on July 9th at Soldier Field in Chicago. It will be the first meeting between the teams in women's international play, and it will also mark just the second African country the American women have faced in their history. The American women have played Nigeria 4 times, all in World Cup or Olympic competition. The American women are bidding for their 4th consecutive Olympic gold medal at the Rio Games in August. U.S. head coach Jill Ellis says her team is excited to play South Africa for the first time, as well as get in a game against another team that will be competing at the Rio Olympics. The USA is grouped with New Zealand, France, and Colombia for the first round of the Olympic women's football tournament. South Africa, meanwhile, will play Sweden, China, and host Brazil in first-round group play. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
This is The Voice of America. Washington, D.C.
If you would like to leave a voicemail for possible use on a future Sunny Side of Sports broadcast, please call 1-202-205-9942. Once again, that number, 1-202-205-9942.
VOA!
When you hear the VOA identification, press 60, and please include your name and where you are calling from.
Voice of America!
Hello, this is Magnus T. from calling from Imo State in Nigeria. I love listening to the Sunny Side of Sports. It's always a daily delight of listening to the Sunny Side of Sports. Once again, Magnus T. from Onward, we're calling from Imo State in Nigeria. I'm wishing all the Sunny Side of Sports listeners all the best. Bye.
Voice of America.
Listen to VOA's program lineup live anytime, day or night. Pick out your favorite shows and listen anytime you want. Download our podcasts. Check VOA mobile from your cell phone. Subscribe to VOA newsfeed. VOAnews.com.
VOA!
I encourage our VOA listeners to check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page. The address is facebook.com/VOAsunny. Once again, that address, facebook.com/VOAsunny. You'll see photos and videos, and you can post your comments. So check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page.
Voice of America!
And if you check out my Facebook page today, Thursday, you'll see a video of Darlington Nagbe scoring his first international goal for the U.S. men's national soccer team. It's time to climb between the ropes once again with our reigning prince of pugilistics, Nnamdi Hollywood Moeta. Good evening, Nnamdi.
And a good evening, Sunny.
Nnamdi, let's begin in Beijing, China, where the International Boxing Federation is holding its 33rd annual convention this week. And one of the stars in Beijing, former world heavyweight champion Iron Mike Tyson, and he made a few comments on Wednesday's show, Nnamdi. And I thought of you because Tyson spoke out about the possibility of prize fighters, professionals, fighting at the Rio Olympics in August. It hasn't officially been approved, but he kind of agrees with you, Nnamdi. He calls it foolish and ridiculous, the plan. But he also goes on to say that he thinks amateur fighters, because there are fewer rounds in amateur boxing, they might still have a chance against the professionals.
Some of the pro fighters are going to get beat by the amateurs. It's just going to happen. They're going to get, some of them are going to get beat, I think. I really believe that. If the fighters were like, when, if they're like the amateur fighters I was fighting in the 80s, like Stevenson and those guys, and all those guys were fighting, the Russians and the Cubans, those, they're going to beat some of the champions. It's going to happen. For three rounds, four rounds, these guys can't, they're not, some of the professional boxers are not going to be able to catch these guys. These guys will be fast for three or four rounds. These guys are not going to be accustomed to that.
Your reaction.
Iron Mike made a very important statement there, because if you look at the pro boxers, it takes them at least four or five rounds to get into the groove, to get into the gear. You know, if you talk about a guy going against a four-rounder can easily steal the first four rounds, whereas the pro is waiting to go into the round 10, round 8, round 9. So it just does not make sense. It's a dumb idea that should have been thrown out of the window a long time ago.
What about with the headgear, Nnamdi? There's talk that the fighters in Rio will not be wearing headgear. What's your stance on that?
I just still don't understand why anybody will sit around the table and talk about amateur fighters not wearing headgear. Because, I mean, it's a protection they need right now before they go pro, you know. You're talking about, say, like an Antonio Joshua fighting a young kid out of Lagos, Nigeria, without a headgear. Can you imagine what will be the outcome of it? It's going to be really, really bad. So this should stop. And I don't see this happening because, one, Olympics is in August, Rio. Nobody has talked about any tournament now to get pro boxers into the Olympics. So this idea, I think, will quietly die and go away.
One possible fight being mentioned now, Nnamdi, and Mike Tyson did comment on it, Conor McGregor, the mixed martial artist, getting into the ring against Floyd Mayweather. Let's listen to what Iron Mike had to say about that.
That's good for entertainment and money, but it's going to be very difficult. What rules? Are they going to do the boxing rules? If they do the boxing rules, he's not going to do well. If they do the MMA rules, he's going to do very well.
Nnamdi, Iron Mike says it all depends on what kind of match it would be. Will it be mixed martial arts rules or an official boxing match? What are your thoughts?
Strictly official boxing match, because Floyd Mayweather has no business doing a wrestling match with Conor McGregor, you know. Conor McGregor is really not in the same league with Money Mayweather when it comes to boxing. This is a guy that lost his last fight. Okay, so it's a big deal in the Ultimate Fighting Championship. But he's not in the same class with Floyd Mayweather. And I think if it's strictly boxing without the other stuff they put into it, their mixed martial arts stuff, Floyd Mayweather will knock him out in less than 10 rounds.
Thanks, Nnamdi. That's our reigning prince of pugilistics, Nnamdi Hollywood Moeta. And we'll hear more verbal jabs from Nnamdi during Friday's Sunny Side of Sports show. In more news from the fight game, the World Boxing Council has ruled that its heavyweight champion, Deontay Wilder of the United States, will be allowed to take an optional title defense because his mandatory defense against Russia's Alexander Povetkin was called off. Wilder was supposed to fight Povetkin May 21st in Moscow, but a week before the bout was scheduled, it was called off, after the 36-year-old Povetkin tested positive for the banned substance meldonium. That's the same substance that Russian tennis star Maria Sharapova tested positive for. World Boxing Council President Mauricio Suleiman says the WBC is doing an in-depth investigation and evaluation of the Povetkin situation. He says, in the meantime, Deontay Wilder has the right to make a voluntary defense of his title as reasonably soon as possible. I hope that means before 2020. Well, you know, reasonably soon. Come on, Deontay. For his part, Deontay says he's pleased by the WBC's ruling. He says he had a great training camp to get ready for Povetkin. He's in great shape, and he wants to fight as soon as possible. The National Basketball Association playoffs continue later Thursday night when the defending champion Golden State Warriors host the Oklahoma City Thunder in Game 5 of the Western Conference Finals. It's must-win for the Warriors, who trail in the best-of-seven series 3-1. The Thunder, meanwhile, is hoping to win tonight and earn its first trip to the NBA Finals since 2012. Meanwhile, in NBA playoff action Wednesday night, the Cleveland Cavaliers trounced the visiting Toronto Raptors 116-78 to take a 3-2 lead in the Eastern Conference Finals. The Cavs can earn their second consecutive trip to the NBA Finals with a win in Game 6 on Friday night in Toronto, Canada. In Game 5, the Cavaliers opened a 34-point lead in the first half, and they never slowed down. Although you might say superstar LeBron James slowed down in the fourth quarter, LeBron scored 23 points before checking out late in the third quarter with Cleveland up by 37. He rested on the bench during the fourth quarter, and Cleveland's reserve players finished out the lopsided victory. Kevin Love scored a game-high 25 points for the Cavs in only 23 minutes on the court. Love was hurt at this stage of the playoffs last season, and he did not play in the 2015 NBA Finals. Joining us once again on the Sunny Side of Sports is Andrew Palcheski, the voice of America's social media reporter. Sporty greetings, Andrew.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Good to be with you.
Welcome back, Andrew. What's trending in the sports world on this Thursday?
Well, the Toronto Raptors getting trounced by the Cleveland Cavaliers. Trounced is just one of the adjectives being used to describe it.
Wings were clipped, maybe?
Wings were clipped. Well, it was the top moment on Twitter. The Twitter has its moments that they compile into lists of different tweets and things. And they had this as their top moment under the NBA playoff section. And the top of this moment just said four words, all caps. It said, "Engage crying Jordan meme." Of course, we love the crying Jordan meme here on Sunny Side of Sports. And so people just took this crying Jordan meme and put it all over the place. My favorites, I think, were they took they call it the Jurassic Park. It's actually the Maple Leaf Square outside of the Air Canada Center. But when during the Raptors games, they call it Jurassic Park. Well, they took every single person in this wide shot of the crowd and put the crying Jordan meme on everyone's face. But a lot of social media reaction to, like I said, a lot of adjectives being used to blow out. It was, disastrous for the Raptors. And people noting on social media saying, this series is so bizarre. It seems that whenever a team is on the road, it seems like they forget how to play basketball. They were in Cleveland last night, and Toronto gets blown out. Cleveland gets blown out in Toronto. It's, this back and forth, people saying, why is this, that they're performing so poorly on the road? So that's a big topic of conversation.
In fact, I think one of the storylines of the NBA playoffs so far, just very lopsided scores. They have not been very competitive games. you know, last night's victory margin, almost 40 points by the Cavaliers. LeBron James sits out the fourth quarter. So, yeah, it makes you wonder. Are you surprised at the influence of the home court?
The fans are, for sure. I mean, it's, you know, there is a home court advantage, but it shouldn't be this much that the team's kind of just, you know, and some of the moments that we saw on Twitter were these instances where the players were just kind of messing up and just getting the ball stolen or just miss, you know, passing or, you know, what have you. So people really astounded by that. There's no clear answer. I don't know.
And Andrew, I remember before the NBA playoffs tipped off, you told our Voice of America listeners how LeBron James was going into a kind of a blackout mode in terms of social media. He wouldn't be tweeting. He wouldn't be posting on Facebook. But now he's got the time to do it, right? With these blowout victories.
I mean, I think he may want to wait until, you know, nothing's secured yet, so he may want to wait until the end of the series and even after the finals, hopefully, if they get there and win. But yeah, he's got some time to do some tweeting, and maybe he was reading Twitter on the bench. I don't know if he was doing any tweeting, but he was maybe looking at all those crying Jordan memes and saying, okay, I guess we're doing a pretty good job here.
What about the Warriors, Andrew? They, as I mentioned, they face a must-win situation tonight in Oakland, California, or else they relinquish their NBA title. Are they trending on social media?
Oh, absolutely. It's, you know, the thing I keep seeing again and again on social media is David versus Goliath, that this team, Golden State, defending champions, set the record for most wins. I mean, it was supposed to be theirs for the taking, and they're down 3-1 now and in danger of losing this series in the Western Conference Finals. So there's a lot of surprise about that. Some people saying, well, I bet on, you know, Oklahoma City back when it was, you know, a 500-1 bet. And now, look, I'm about to get, you know, this payoff, because it was that assured, or at least it was thought it was going to be that assured, that Golden State would walk away with the second consecutive championship. And after tonight, that may not be the case.
Let me give a quick shout out for one of the African players in the lineup for Oklahoma City, Serge Ibaka. He's from Brazzaville in the Republic of the Congo. I know Oklahoma City, they had the two all-stars, Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook, but Ibaka, clearly one of their key players, Andrew, in terms of rebounding and blocking shots and that type of thing.
A lot of those key moments from those three, we're getting seeing clips of those on social media for sure, and we'll probably see more from tonight.
Andrew, I encourage our Voice of America listeners to follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook and Twitter. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny, and my Twitter handle is @VOA Sunny Sports. Andrew, what else is trending in the sports world?
Well, we go from the Jurassic Park up in Toronto outside the Air Canada Center to the Shark Tank in San Jose, California. It's the SAP Center. That is where the San Jose Sharks play, and they won in the National Hockey League here in the U.S. the Western Conference Championship last night, beating the St. Louis Blues. So they're going to go to the Stanley Cup Finals. They'll be either playing Pittsburgh or Tampa Bay. Their series is tied 3-3. They play tonight. Whoever wins goes to the finals. But inside the Shark Tank, we're seeing, you know, these videos coming out on social media of just the place is rocking. This is the first time that the San Jose Sharks have ever been to the final. So it's really exciting for their fans. And you see, they have these really cool things. I've seen these at concerts before, but I don't think I've ever seen them in a sporting event. They're like kind of light up wristbands, and they are timed, or there's some kind of, you know, they have a chip in them so they can all synchronize them, and they're all just kind of pulsing. So you see all these people with these wristbands pulsing, lighting up. You see the people waving the rally towels, and you're getting it from the fans' perspective. This guy, one video I saw, took the video and kind of panned across, and it is just the noise and the sights. You feel like you're there in the stadium. So that's one of the cool things about social media, is that we get to see what it looks like from the fans' perspective, which we don't often get. We get that kind of view up above the rink or up above the field or the pitch, what have you. But we don't really get to see what it's like in the stands. But this gives us an opportunity to see that through social media. So that's a lot of fun.
And in terms of San Jose's nickname, the Sharks, I remember VOA's Doug Bernard, I asked him about that. A shark on ice? What is that all about? But he says it's more geographical in nature, because San Jose, near the coast, sharks in that area of Northern California.
Yeah. The one, the rally towel they had printed had a shark taking a bite out of a saxophone. It said, "Silence the Blues." And they certainly did that last night.
Andrew Palcheski, the VOA social media reporter. Thank you, Andrew.
Thanks very much.
And that wraps up the May 26th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger, VOA engineer Nick Ivanoff. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Sub-Saharan Africa has done well over the past few years. The overall trends in sub-Saharan Africa point to accelerated democratization, development, and economic opportunity, said Assistant Secretary of State for African Affairs Linda Thomas-Greenfield recently before the Senate Foreign Relations Committee. A number of countries have ended long-running conflicts and are rebuilding. Others have held successful elections in the past year. Economic opportunities are improving, and per capita income has been increasing steadily. However, in spite of these positive trends, instability and conflict continue to bedevil parts of the continent. And much of that is due to terrorism and violent extremism. Terrorist organizations such as Al-Shabaab, Boko Haram, Al-Qaeda in the Islamic Maghreb, or AQIM, and Al-Murabitun are exploiting state fragility and political and economic vulnerabilities, said Assistant Secretary Thomas Greenfield. We see violent extremists focusing their recruitment efforts where there is a lack of economic opportunity, political and social alienation, poor governance, corruption of elites, and lack of accountability for abuses by security forces. In the Lake Chad Basin region, Boko Haram continues its attacks in northeastern Nigeria, Cameroon, Chad, and Niger. In West Africa and the Sahel, terrorist groups have conducted attacks against hotels and a resort frequented by Westerners. In East Africa, Al-Shabaab has launched large-scale attacks against the African Union's forward operating bases and other targets throughout Somalia and Kenya. And ISIL is attempting to co-opt local insurgencies and conflicts to expand its networks. The United States is working with individual countries and transnational organizations in Africa to boost their military capabilities and to strengthen law enforcement, judicial, and other criminal justice sector institutions. At the same time, we are working to stop the recruitment, radicalization, and mobilization of people to engage in terrorist activities. We are expanding engagement with African governmental and non-governmental partners to better understand the drivers of violent extremism and design effective responses. We are working closely with government partners at both the national and subnational level to adopt more effective policies to prevent the spread of violent extremism, said Assistant Secretary of State Thomas Greenfield. The United States is committed to partnering with the people and governments of Africa to promote democracy, peace, and prosperity.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Hello, Africa. I'm James Butte, host of VOA's Daybreak Africa. When news breaks, VOA Africa is there, bringing you the news as it happens. Listen to Daybreak Africa Monday through Friday at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC. And our 5-minute newscast come to you at the top of each hour. VOA Africa, your trusted source of information.
Feast with your ears on Music Time in Africa, your connection to the best Pan-African music. Hello, this is Heather Maxwell, inviting you to join me every Saturday and Sunday at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
This one, this one,
every show brings you the best music from across the continent. Old songs you know and love, and new songs to discover. You'll meet artists, too. Listen to Africa's superstars and rising stars in exclusive, unplugged interviews on the radio or on my YouTube channel. Search for Heather Maxwell, Music Time in Africa. We play only the best right here on VOA Africa.
Are you suffering from heartache? No problem. We've got the cure for you. The African beat can soothe your heartache with its awesome tunes from the African continent. So join me, David Vandy, Mondays through Fridays at 0900 and 2000 Universal Time for a healing journey. I guarantee it.